employed business, politics, and oil. And that last thing, Renfield, will be their undoing. They believe it will fuel the next century. And if they control it, they control the future. But from the moment we demonstrate the viability of geomagnetic technology, no more money.
Stupid.
No more power.
No more Order of the Dragon.
Blah!
There it is.
This is the Extra Hot Gray Podcast, episode 10 for the week of October 28th, 2013. I am Missing Reflection David T. Cole, and I'm here with Ocean of Time Joe Reed.
Take me away from all this death.
Sunset Riser Sarah D. Bunting.
Putting the no back in Nosferatu.
And Garlic Knot Tara Ariano.
Hey, come close. I gotta tell you something really close. That was me with garlic breath.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Extra Hot Great. We got a little site business up at the top of the show, so let's get that out of the way. The first exciting bit of site news, and I'm glad to be able to announce this because I know how you guys love it, when we move the RRS feed for the podcast.
RSS, I think.
That too.
If you subscribe via iTunes, you don't have to do anything. If you subscribe manually via some other podcast app or whatever you have,
that applies to me.
Then you're going to have to change it. It won't happen for a few weeks. We'll give you a few more reminders on the show, but it will happen. And a side effect of this is that there will be no more only main podcasts and only mini podcast feeds. We have to move the RSS feed off site. So one of the drawbacks of that is we can only have one. So just keep an eye on the site. We'll announce that feed on the page starting probably this week. But you'll have a couple weeks to go. And Joe,
hey Dave,
yes,
can you call that feed the Highlander feed because there can only be one?
yes, we can. Okay. Joe, you have a little bit of news for us?
I do have a little bit of news. I got a job in the past week. I did. So Freelancy McGee is going to be once again an office drone like everybody else. But the unintended, unexpected, unhappy offshoot of that is I'm not going to be free in my days anymore to come and record these podcasts. So next week will be my second Extra Hot Great finale. This one only for me. Only me. It's going to be all about only me.
That's bullshit. But we'll have you back as a guest, right? You're not disowning us for the rest of your life.
I fully intend to come back as a guest and get my game time fix because I'm going to need it. If listening to the last 2 weeks of podcasts without me has shown me anything, it's that I need to be in the mix of competition. So,
left Team Venti like the Death Star, broken and alone.
Aww.
But still operational.
But still operational. And waiting for your return.
So are you allowed to tell everybody?
Should, right? Yeah. The exact place. Yeah, I'm going to be entertainment editor at the Atlantic Wire.
Fancy.
So, yeah.
That's
so
a nice
speaking
scoop.
Of bookmarks and such, put that one in your bookmarks. I'll be starting on November 6th. And I hopefully will be doing some really great work there. I think we will. So please join us there.
Well, we've had our fingers crossed on this for you for a while. And now that everybody else knows, let's give Joe a public congratulations. Yay!
Yay!
Thanks, guys.
I think I speak for everybody. Well, sad to not see you here every week. But, hopefully, we'll have you back when you can. We're going to smush our schedule around a bit so that we can accommodate having more guests, try to record a little later in the day, not to get too inside baseball, but so far I've been recording, in the early mornings here on the West Coast and sort of noon on the East Coast, but we're going to try to record later in the day. So hopefully when you don't have a really late night, Joe, you can pop over Sarah's, hopefully as much as you can / want to / have time for, because you're going to be a busy boy. But
yes.
We hope to have you on as much as you can handle. But
great.
While Joe is getting his, his digs in order over there. Look forward to a lot more guests in the near term.
We already have our first post-Joe guest lined up.
Yes. The Blankenship chair will finally be filled on Mark II in two
weeks.
Oh,
nice.
With Mark II. I mean Mark I.
So that's it. So bittersweet, but congratulations, Joe. You certainly deserve it. And they are very lucky to have you there.
Yes.
I should probably also note that I'll be working with, at the Atlantic Wire, a past guest of the show, Richard Lawson.
Indeed, so. I was going to say that. So yes.
Yeah. So everything is kind of still coming up extra hot great.
So, all circle of love.
So, Joe, I'm sorry that you had to miss American Horror Story, but I bet you're happy that you came back in time for this week's topic.
Thank God I can talk about Dracula.
Well, that makes one of us.
Did somebody say Dracula? happy to be back. Hey.
He's back.
Joe, I'm sorry you're leaving so soon. Oh, dear. But let's talk about my show, Dracula.
I love Dracula.
All right, I'll start because I have almost nothing to say because I couldn't get through the entire pilot.
Whoa.
Because it was terrible. But I don't understand why so much money was spent on special effects to the exclusion of the costumes, which looked like bridesmaids' dresses from Woolworths. Carfax Manor, really? Was that a product placement?
You got to check the Carfax.
I thought I misheard that. It really is Carfax Manor?
I think so. Okay. It's probably not spelled that way. It's probably spelled some Welsh pretentious way.
It's on Blue Book Lane, and
but
it's...
I would have thought that was...
pretentious about the Welsh.
Tell you that to really, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
You can't really have pretension with that many consonants in one word.
And here's the thing. Then there's rich people named Grayson again.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah. Well, and also... like
someone
the big...
in charge of the show Bible couldn't have...
Somebody at ABC needs to drum up a lawsuit, though, because not only that, they also have, and I know nobody watched 666 Park Avenue, I understand, but like they had an Order of the Dragon too, and it's like the most generic sounding shadowy organization
but
possible.
But it's a real thing, as I discovered today.
Oh, real? Well,
it's
then
a
I
real
guess
historical
both...
thing, and apparently well, they... the real Vlad the Impaler and his dad both belonged to it.
Ah.
Dad the Impaler.
Well, then both shows were working the same Wikipedia page when they were researching
yes,
their show.
And
I bet it wasn't intentional.
True.
Like, I bet you know that, and the show doesn't, because this is dialogue that used the word innocuous incorrectly, and that was the point at which I was like, nope.
No.
I mean, Rice Mears, however you pronounce that, is not
right
generally
I believe it
sounds
for
me.
Rice milk.
Yes, rice milk. I enjoyed his American accent and his little bit at the beginning about bourbon and whatnot, but it was not annoying enough, and... You know, like it's annoying, but not annoying enough.
As Tara pointed out when we were watching it, at least we can give them props for setting up a reason why.
That his accent is so bad.
Yes.
He's a Romanian who learned British English pretending to be American.
That's about how that would sound. Yeah, that's fine. The one
There's
thing
no
I did find kind
for,
of...
For what's his face on Hugh Dancy on Hannibal.
No,
that's which true. Also pronounced bourbon probably around the same way, but sorry, go ahead, Jim.
Boom, boom.
I liked in that thing, in that part we clipped, there was a lot of what you didn't see was the visuals sort of lingering over this cabal of old white men. So you got the sense that like this is the power structure or whatever. They used to burn people at the stake. They're the entrenched majority or whatever. And I love that, like, you know who's going to upset that apple cart of a power structure is Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, the whitest, like, purely establishment guy. It's quite funny.
Vampires don't
we do
have
get a
lot
black
of
Renfield,
pigment,
though. That's
They're very
fun.
Pale by nature. I can't help it.
Well, what did you guys think about the intriguing Dracula as a devious investor?
Well, the part that you clipped sort of highlights how dumb it is because, like, how is that going to work out? I'm pretty sure that we lived through the 20th century and that magnetic power is not where it's at and gas was actually a pretty smart play.
Yeah,
so...
my notes said something about the Tucker Mobile and then also the word stupid in capital letters.
Like they could have they could have made the Order of the Dragon guys, like they could have made it somewhat more believable, even whatever, like they could have made it that they were super behind coal or something, like something where it could have gone either way. But as it is, it's like, well, we know your project is doomed.
Yeah.
And B, we don't care. We don't care. We want you to eat people. We don't want to see you fucking right. with their bank accounts.
Right, right. That scene where he hands everybody light bulbs and they all illuminate and it's just ooh and ah. And it was so ripped off, first of all, from The Prestige in that scene where all the whatever light fields light up. And it made me think, like, maybe a more interesting take on Dracula, if you want to do it in, you know, in history, is to pick a historical figure and be like, here's what you didn't know about Tesla. Tesla was also Dracula. And just sort of, like, go that way.
Famous vampires throughout history.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just get really, really crazy with it instead of this sort of, like, speculative, like, maybe Dracula was into the stock market. Like, I don't know.
They did a thing with Batman recently where Batman, for whatever reason, is sent back through time. And then, like, each episode is, like, Batman catching up to the present and different sort of like the high seas pirate Batman and all this sort of stuff. But it's the same idea, right? I mean, that's the thing you do. You would pick interesting settings, stick Dracula in there and see how he fared, which would be an interesting anthology series, I suppose.
Yeah.
A little different animal, but maybe more creative than
I feel like they're
Dracula
asking
the
us
investor.
They're asking us to invest in the romantic subplots here that I cannot imagine are going to go anywhere.
No.
God, the Mina in question is
nothing.
Most fortunate choice. Like, registered not at all. I couldn't tell you even what color her hair is at this point. I know it was frizzy.
Yeah, and then there was the blonde one with the face, with the bitchy face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which one?
I just think Lucy. This property is something that the field has to be.
Well, I just want to say that we have to make sure that we're calling the Dracula series Slayer Busty the Vampire Slayer, right? I just want to make sure that sticks.
Sorry, Sarah, you
were
saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep, I'm behind you on that.
But you were saying, sorry, before we got you off.
I just think that maybe this property, like the Bram Stoker-based Dracula at least, or just in general, needs to be allowed to lay fallow for like 10 or 20 years because it's exhausted and overwrought. And between the movie, like I know the movie was really a long time ago, but it was so terrible. And then they keep trying to sort of bring it back, like, well, vampires are really hot right now. And this is the original, you know, vampire property. Like, well, maybe it just belongs to a different time and we need to leave it alone. Like, when he showed up on Buffy, like, of course he did, but I also felt like maybe they should have written around him or like written a reference to why he couldn't show up.
Right. Well, that episode really just sort of showed how ill-fitting that character is in any kind of other vampire context, because the whole point of Dracula is that he's the lone vampire in whatever his realm, and he's sort of isolated and hunted and
has no sense of humor at all.
Right. Yeah.
And it just doesn't work sort of trying to apply, like in Sleepy Hollow. I think it's really a lot of fun in part because Ichabod Crane is very self-serious and grand, but then the show kind of takes the piss out of him all the time, which is funny, but then it's like less possible to do that with Dracula. And I think Buffy tried, but failed.
Maybe, long as I'm pitching alternate Dracula series, it could be, like, Dracula's castle with his, like, demon vampire brides or whatever, like you got in the Francis Ford Coppola movie.
Right.
But they're just, like, it's an office comedy about how they, like, sort of punch in every day. Like, and it's like
the Playboy Mansion?
Yeah, exactly. It's just, like, Grandpa upstairs is going to want another, like, hand job in the evening or something like that. It's just like, oh, guys.
Neck job. Gross.
Neck job.
I would actually watch that. If it were animated and done by the Frisky Dingo team,
make it
happen.
So, have you watched? Has anybody watched the second episode through?
We have it on this press site. So, Sarah, I guess if you did not finish episode one, episode two is probably off the table.
Yeah, I mean, if it suddenly gets awesome, let me know. But spoiler, it's not going to. So, I mean, and they put it on Friday.
Yeah,
that's a bit of a clue.
I mean,
vote of no confidence.
I will say. In NBC's defense, slightly, it follows Grimm, which is a similar kind of like supernaturally,
and which
show.
Is a success.
And I read that Dracula held 100% of its lead-in, so maybe that was not such a bad move after all. If this is meant to appeal to Grimm fans, I guess it probably did. None of us are, so we'll never know.
I liked it.
Going from one topic to another, an appropriate makes it smooth as butter.
So in other series debuts, or rather season debuts, we have Project Runway All-Stars.
Correct. I was going to do a little segue involving emotional vampires, like Elena. But yeah, so Project Runway Regular had its reunion show last week at 8, and then right after that was Project Runway All-Stars. Which is now my preferred Project Runway because the judging is much better and less, I don't know, weird and out of left field, in my opinion. They actually seem to want to be there. And you have a lot of big personalities from previous seasons. But the main point of the show is to, like, address past wrongs, right. Basically. Yep. So past winners are Mondo Guerra, who was jobbed by Gretchen winning. And I guess Anthony Ryan won season?
He won the second All-Stars, yeah.
And I don't know who he got jobbed by. Like, I liked...
He was one of the Anya casualties, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, fair enough. But there's... I wrote a piece a few weeks back where I ranked the contestants in this season of All-Stars based on how likely I thought they would be to be shown obvious favoritism, because that's kind of a hallmark of All-Stars. At least they're kind of open about it and they admit that that's what's going on. And the contestants are kind of in on it. But my current leader in that is Michael Knight, who is one of the rare returnees from a Bravo season.
Yep.
He Michael didn't Knight, really?
With a Y.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. With a Y Michael's and Michael, y. not Knight.
Is this just
Yeah,
like
surprise,
bias?
Surprise, Sarah likes Michael Knight. Yeah.
Everyone she liked say she Michael liked him. Knight that season.
Yeah, he was good that season.
He was good.
Until it came to his final show, it kind of fell apart, as I recall.
Bottom.
Yes.
Bottom.
Yeah.
Gotcha, Dave.
Okay.
Forgiveness, please.
Thanks, Dracula. But I don't know if you guys have been watching so far. There's only been one episode. But it came down to Ari South, who I thought would probably be shown a fair amount of favoritism because she was Andy South before, and that's a good story. And then Victor Luna, who was also an Anya jobby. Mm-hmm. I think if it had been anyone else except Victor, they would not have sent Ari home. But as it is, my predictions are already kind of flailing. What are you guys seeing in terms of favorites and flails?
I have a weird history with Project Runway All-Stars where I started each of the last two seasons and have bailed halfway through. For the Mondo season, it was just because I hadn't watched his original season, and I knew so definitely that he was going to win, and I did not like him that All-Star season. He did not seem to be in any way... I feel like he knew he was going to win, and I sort of...
He was a lot less likable the second time around,
Yeah, there was a lot of entitlement there. The second All-Star season, I don't even remember why I stopped watching, because I liked the people. I love Anthony Ryan. I would have loved to have, you know, followed him through to the win, so I don't know whether that was just a circumstantial thing. But I'm already like I'm in for the early part of this season as well. I was expecting there to be far more people that I didn't know because I haven't watched the last several seasons. But there's only really a small handful, and a couple of them I seem to like. The blonde one whose name I keep forgetting.
Melissa.
Yeah. I seem to like her, and Christopher Palou.
I like Palou.
I'm kind of enamored of him right now. I don't know. We'll see. but I don't know. I think the judging switch up is interesting. I will always miss my Nina Garcia, of course. And Tim Gunn not being there just seems strange. But these people are okay. Alyssa Milano is kind of a whatever for me as a host, but she doesn't really get a ton to do for the bulk of the episode.
Well, and compared to the models that they had the past two seasons, like very lovely ladies, well-meaning, but just could not read the cards fast enough.
Yeah.
Like, get on with it. So I think Alyssa is better.
Yeah. Is the sponsoring just crazier this season, or has it been going that way throughout the... Just the fact that trying to get these, like, Project Runway people to talk about how much they love and respect things like QVC Mary Kay.
That was
very weird. Like, Jeffrey Sebelia being like, it's every fashion designer's dream to be on QVC. Uh-huh. Like, really? Okay.
Especially sure that he was the one that they got to say it. It was like, you could see him choking down the bile as he tried to make it seem believable. Which, I don't know.
I'm sure
he
that
did
was
fine.
Deliberate, too. That it's like, who's going to feel the most Williamsburg-y about selling out on this point?
Well, Sebelia. And also, the first challenge was a punk challenge, and I always hate punk challenges because it always devolves into like these sort of semantic arguments about what is punk and what isn't punk and what's modern punk and what's a new definition of punk.
Yes.
And
it's the same as when they do like what is and isn't avant-garde and stuff.
Right. And everybody's got their like fakey fake idea of like, well, when I was living in the punk scene in like whatever, 1998 or some bullshit, like these people are all 2 years old. Like there's no way they have any punk experience.
Yes.
And also as a first challenge, it's weird because it leads to you can go home after designing a good looking garment if it's not punk enough, because pretty is not punk. And so I don't like challenges where good looking garments that are good looking but still off topic would be sent home. And I don't.
That's what happened this time.
Yeah, that's what happened this time.
But I looked at Ari's and I was like, well, that's not punk, but it's as punk as six other looks here. And also, I would wear that. Like,
I have a feeling nothing is punk. That's my sort of secret belief about the universe is that nothing is actually punk. It's all just like...
And that's punk.
And that's punk.
By the way, a hole just opened up in the fabric of space and time here in Brooklyn. Enjoy.
Yeah. I you touched on the thing that bugged me the most, which was all of the different contestants trying to out-punk each other with their punk cred. Like, it's...
Everybody stop saying punk.
The word has lost all meaning.
That said, at least it's only an hour. That's another big plus for All-Stars over regular. Because regular, Dave is giving me a quizzical look, is an hour and a half normally.
Jeez, that's too long. What is it?
It is.
I mean,
and it's like 10
minutes. Devolve into I'm not a crackpot, but let's stop with the supersize shows.
Yes.
Yes.
I know reality is the worst offender, but just over the board, let's reevaluate every show, see if it would be better as a shorter show.
Yes.
And then do that.
If Survivor can be an hour long, there's no excuse for any other reality competition to be longer than that.
That's right.
That's just how I feel.
Survivor could easily be, like, often those shows end at like, they go to tribal at like 50 minutes in and you're like, oh, there must be a tie and then someone has to fire. No, the show is only 52 minutes long and they don't care.
Yeah.
But Project Runway regular, they rerun in the middle of the night at an hour long.
Yeah,
and
that's
true.
You
don't miss anything. They just cut out all the like gold blown up the culo of L'Oreal's eyeshadow that stays on for 2 months. Like, I don't care. I mean, and I like makeup and hair stuff, but I don't care. I want to see sewing.
Make it's it a like, web extra and call it a day.
Right. Exactly. You either need to see more of it or less of it. It's like when they cut the whole business of like picking the models. Remember when that used to be a thing?
Yes.
Oh, Morganza.
That was actually interesting to me. Like,
I was the one who watched the model spinoff.
I did too. I did.
You're the other one. Great.
Yes. So it's weird how they're always trying to recalibrate it, and then somehow the decision has been made. Like, no, 90 minutes is right. Like, I'm not sure that's true.
You two are probably would remember the name of Jeffrey Sebelius' model in his season that sort of carried him to victory, right?
Anna something, but I remember Anna Maria.
But we all remember the fact of that, though, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. She was 85% leg, and then when she was walking out that couture gown, I was like, and Sebelia wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good season.
But do you think he'll win again?
I don't. I have Michael Knight or Victor Luna or Corto.
I like her. I always liked her.
I have a feeling Cacho's going to win,
But I don't think that they should have past winners. I feel like they should be not, they should be disqualified from being on
it again.
It
felt like a casting failure. It felt like they had just not come up with a full 11 interesting past contestants, so they had to pad it with former winners.
And for some reason, Rupert from Survivor's back.
Can you imagine? Then I would finally pick the show. Well, and I predicted also in my piece that they would bring someone from the most recent season who had been eliminated, like fourth or fifth from the end, and that didn't happen. And I suspect it's because rumors of strife on the set and people thinking that the judging was rigged are rampant and kind of came out in the reunion. Do either of you think that that was a factor? Did these contestants from last year seem more discontent at the reunion than...
They definitely did. They were very salty. And I hope that that's not the reason that we're getting less Braden and more Jeffrey Sebelia, because I did not need to see more of Jeffrey.
That's a bummer. At the very least, you could make the case that, like, with Irina and Seth Aaron, like, they won sort of famously weak seasons.
Yes,
and
that's
so you
true.
Could see sort of, like, how are they going to compete along with the big dogs. But, like, Sebelia won a very competitive season, and
that
he's
was,
already...
Yeah, that was maybe the best final of any season, I think.
It was him, Michael, Uli, and a fourth, or was it just... Oh, and Laura, right?
And Laura
Bennett?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was so good. Why hasn't Laura Bennett come back for an All-Star season? Does
Didn't
she just
I thought she did.
She has 100 children, yeah. for starters.
She's also a billionaire. Like, she doesn't need to do this.
I don't
this.
Think she likes any of those children, though. That's what I was just like, I'll drop him at a drop of a hat to come to do another
She doesn't particularly
promo.
Like the show either, yeah, even though she's blogging about it for the network, yeah. which is kind of amazing. She's yeah. like, editors, what are you doing? I'm like, jeez, okay.
But yeah, I'm definitely in for the season. I like Alyssa Milano. I think she's fun. And she seems to enjoy it. Like, she takes it
She does seem to enjoy
seriously,
it. That's true.
But she's yeah. I don't know. She seems like she's having fun. I liked when she did the Nina move of like holding up her cards to only see half an outfit at a time. That's cute. Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, do you watch that show Face Off?
No, do you I know? Don't. I've heard it's good, though.
Yeah, okay. I gotta find
we
somebody.
We should pick that up.
Yeah.
Because I hear a lot about
it. It basically sounds like nerd-friendly Project Runway.
If you don't know what it is, it's a competitive reality show for, like, creature
special effect
makeup artists. Yeah, not just creatures, but, like, yeah, special yeah. effect makeup artists.
Yeah, but it sounds like it's basically this template.
Yeah.
And then, you know, creature goo, which is kind of a neat idea.
What were we going to say? Sir?
I believe previously Zone Monty Ashley wrote a piece in praise of Face Off. Is it still on right now?
I have no idea.
I think they're between seasons.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah, every once in a while somebody says, well, you should watch this. And I'm like, yeah. And it's one of those shows, I guess it's because it's on SIF, that that kind of falls out of my head as soon, yeah. as soon as the sentence is done, as yeah. all SIF shows do. See Defiance, or is that the name? Defiant,
yeah.
and all those sort of
things. I think it's
just
Defiance.
Like, yeah. David. Poof, just out. Yeah.
But along similar lines, I wrote a very short thing for the site about the Jim Henson Muppet Challenge,
oh, yeah,
or whatever
right.
it's going to be, that, like,
oh yeah,
I've been on the record in the old shows being against post Jim Henson Muppet tree, but I will watch that because I think it will combine like engineering plus sewing plus character. Like, it just seems like it has all the elements to be super cool and interesting, because the things they do in the creature shop are not just make puppets. Like, they make large scale, you know, huge effects that people have to
remember?
Stand in and move around with, like,
have they
mechanical
not done
shit.
That as a challenge before?
What do you mean?
Designing for Muppets. I thought that was a thing.
No. This is a different show. This is a show.
Oh, okay.
This
okay.
is a separate series.
That was a thing, though.
On Project
Runway,
right?
And
yes.
Miss Piggy was
Miss
a judge.
Piggy.
And
yes.
I was very,
okay.
very
okay.
unhappy about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay. I thought
yeah.
so. Okay, yeah.
That was the last All-Star season, I think.
Oh, okay.
And they yeah. all had to pretend to be so excited about it. And then she's like in a judging chair on the runway, and it was just
with
really
her legs
awkwardly
dangling.
Shot. And
it was very
I know,
strange.
Muppet legs. Can Muppet legs be worse than jazz? Like, can we just sort of make that a thing? I know
yes.
nobody else is on board with me about Muppets, but can we all agree about Muppet legs? We just should never see them.
Yes, yes,
with the exception
yes.
of Kermit legs, which are great. I agree.
Okay.
All right. Well, gosh, it's been a while since we've had a tiny triumph on the podcast, and this one is mine. Very quickly, last week I started a hashtag called Bigger Movies, and it hit number one in the USA after about an hour.
I think it was less than that.
Yeah, it might have been less
yeah,
than that.
Didn't take that long.
And the idea was just titles that become bigger, such as the very first one was Bigger Trouble in Normal China. So, and another one, I forgot who did it, but I really enjoyed The Hunt for Red October, Blue November, and Green December.
That was good.
And things of the such. So, yeah, so I'm going to add that to my roster of successful hashtag games on Twitter.
Well done.
Bigger Movies. It's time for the canon, and our canon submission this week comes from Sarah D. Bunting.
That's right. It is a Halloween episode Ooh. Of Felicity. I have nominated Spooked for the canon because it's the episode in which Felicity really starts to fire on all cylinders. If you had to pick one episode that cross-sections everything that's great and annoying about the show, Spooked would be a solid choice. It's like the most Felicity in the run of Felicity. The episode opens with Felicity and Ben's quote-unquote relationship, based almost entirely on her helping him with schoolwork, until they come back to Sean's loft one night and they're robbed at gunpoint. The burglary kicks their friendship into a different gear because now they share a traumatic experience. But back at the dorm, Megan, Felicity's rude goth roomie, who's my favorite WB character ever, as you know, has a somewhat different take on the incident, as we'll hear in this clip.
I heard there were shots fired.
Are you serious? Some guy in the mailroom said congratulations. I said why. He said because you now have the largest single on campus.
Some people are so damn sick.
All right, I'm going over there. Someone should stay here in case she comes back.
Hello? Hi, Mr. Porter. No, it's Julie. Is Felicity here? No. But, look, here's Noel.
Mr. Porter. Hi, this is Noel.
That's right.
Thank you. Yeah, no, things are fine. Well, they'd be a lot better if I didn't have to read Ulysses.
What are you doing?
What?
You're checking out our side of the room, aren't you?
Not.
Nobody's killed in the break-in, of course. Certainly not Felicity's romantic hopes about Ben. Rattled and unable to sleep, Ben turns up at her dorm at 2 in the morning. We can't really show it to you here for obvious reasons, but Felicity's look of, it's all finally happening, joy, when she realizes he's calling from the lobby is amazing. But really, the episode is about introductions, meeting characters, and setting up events that will continue resounding throughout the series. The ill-starred romance between Julie and Zach, a.k.a. the pink guy, a.k.a. rapey Brian Krakow, is in its non-felonious developmental stages as Zach haltingly asks Julie out.
And I haven't seen it in a long time.
No, me neither.
So you don't want to?
What?
Go.
Are you inviting me?
Didn't I?
Not yet.
I'm sorry. It's tomorrow night. I think we should. Do you want to go?
Sure.
Really?
Enjoy that charming Julie scene, folks. It's one of two that she has in the entire series. Down with Julie. We also hear for the first time, while Felicity and Ben are carving pumpkins in the middle of the night, as you do, about Ben's alcoholic father, sometimes abusive and sometimes neglectful, who plays a huge part in Ben's life even when he's not on screen, which he actually is a fair bit, R.A.P. John Ritter. We also meet drunk Felicity. This is one of Keri Russell's more underrated skills as an actress. Felicity is full of sketchy party punch and already bummed that she dressed as the Bride of Frankenstein and Ben didn't come through on the monster tip. She sees Ben Frenching the pink Power Ranger. She runs from the party, crying in that drunk way you can't seem to stop once it starts, and she tries to hide out in her room. But of course, Noel has to barge in to give her a damp, not entirely his role as an RA-based pep talk about how she's great and beautiful, blah, blah, blah. And Felicity responds appropriately, as we'll hear in this clip.
And before you let yourself get caught up in the drama of the moment, you gotta know you're gonna be fine. You're gonna be more than fine. You're gonna be great. Okay?
You think?
I do.
Oh, no! Oh, that really changes my whole attitude about you.
I'm so sorry.
Hat tip to the Foley guy for that juicy chunder sound effect. And I don't mean Scott Foley, though he's still keeping Noel on the right side of smug weirdo at this point. Mostly. In possibly the first, but far from the last, peacock display moment for the two male leads, Noel is everything that I at least, came to despise by the end of the show's run. Imperious, hypocritical, and not for nothing, but during this clip, he's also wearing a sweater that makes him look like the guys with the shrunken heads in the waiting room in Beetlejuice. Why don't we hear that clip now?
She's not here. Do you know where she is? Yeah. You want to tell me? She's a friend of mine. Yeah, I know that. And I don't want to see her get hurt.
No, of course not.
I'm not kidding.
I know.
Look, I don't mean to be, you're right. You're a good friend, you're right.
Vicky, please, just tell me where she is. Please.
Fucking Noel. Spooked isn't actually my favorite Felicity episode. The Todd Mulcahy arc, coming up later in the first season, is when the show really hits its humor stride, and the last third of the second season is probably its strongest work overall. But this one is funny, sweet, true to college life, introduces us to Blair, Elena's future cheaty boyfriend, and brings Felicity to Dean and DeLuca. Here's Javier, Felicity's boss and future bestie.
Come on, his name is not that guy. It's Samuel. From Brooklyn. I don't know. It's a biblical
name. It's a biblical name is what he says at the end.
Yeah, sorry that soy milk testicle is wailing in the background and drowning out the dialogue. Talk about typical of the show. Anyway, yeah. The episode also has some pretty hilarious 20th century tech going on. When you watch it, look out for the big blocky I-286 PCs in the background. There's also a Dear Felicity VO from Garofalo,
yeah.
Although you can almost hear her rolling her eyes during it. It's got a few classic Sean inventions stolen during the burglary. It's got big hair and bigger sweaters on our heroine, and it's got, I hope, a shot at the cannon. Guys, what do you think?
I just want to say how much I enjoyed the Beetlejuice sweater reference there. Because as I watched that scene, I'm like, what the fuck is up with that guy? Why is it so big?
Yeah, it's vast. It was a David Byrne jacket.
And that wasn't the style then either.
Yeah, kind of.
No, but not big. Like, what? Like, it looked like he had a cardboard box inside
it. Yeah, okay.
He did look like a robot costume.
Fair.
A kid.
That's fair.
Yes.
Tara?
Yeah, this was a great one. I'm shocked, though, Sarah, that you didn't mention the end of the episode. One of the things that happens in the break-in is Felicity has a necklace stolen from her that her mother got from her grandmother when she was blah, blah. It's a family heirloom, got stolen. So Ben comes to the coffee shop after. Meanwhile, the emptiest coffee shop in all of New York. No coffee shop during daylight ever has that many empty seats.
Certainly not a Dean and DeLuca.
Anyway, he comes to try and make amends, and he gives her this necklace that is the most lesbian-y looking necklace in the world.
Yeah, that was not anything competitive with what she lost.
No,
like,
and,
no.
I mean, I get where he's going, but it's like it's a plain silver triangle. It's very.
He probably picked it up from one of those tables that's on Broadway. You know, like those guys that just sell crap
on his walk
on their folding tables with the plastic sheet on it.
And
that's about Ben's level of effort too, in general.
That is one of those symbols that winds up coming back frequently, though, that I didn't mention explicitly, but yeah.
But I also loved the time capsule aspect of the tech, not just, you can hear it in that first clip that you played with them passing around the enormous landline phone. It sounds like it weighs about 50 pounds. Yes. Yeah. And all of the business about, like, well, we have to wait here until she comes back, whereas now if this took place, it would just be like, just text her.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Him showing up, do you know where she is, and all that stuff. But that's just cute.
The episode aired 15 years ago yesterday as we record this. I know.
Oh, my God.
That's amazing. Oh, man.
We're old. We really are. That was pre-Television Without Pity, I think.
You think you're old. What about me? I'm very old.
And you know what sucks about how old Felicity seems now is Felicity's college years overlapped mine exactly. It's the one show that, like, matched up with me. Like, I was a year off of Buffy. I was a couple years off of Dawson's Creek. But, like, Felicity was my age. So
I was 1 year off of Beverly Hills 90210. Uh-huh. So why don't you suck my dick? How old people are. But I kid, Joe. This is a great episode for all reasons that Sarah said. The way they portray the yearning, that college-y yearning that's like, it only exists at that time of your life where you're like, you really have nothing else to do but just think about everything that happened with you and your intended and like what it meant.
Oh, and homework.
She didn't do any homework.
No, she did, actually. That's one of the things I always liked about that show. Like, they had them doing a ton of homework, especially Felicity at this point, because she was trying to be pre-med.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
Yeah, that's basically why we got an Elena, because, like, there was so much focus on, like, actual schoolwork.
Right.
And I think this time through, while I enjoyed the confrontation scene between Ben and Noel, how much, like, that's so, that Ben is so Ben in that moment, just being, like, faintly amused by Noel's antics without actually considering him any kind of a threat or at all. But I appreciate more what Scott Foley did with this role. It was kind of the similar experience that I had watching the 6 Feet Under premiere when we talked about it, whenever that was, a few weeks ago, that I have a better understanding, I think, now that I've seen more from him, of like what Scott Foley was actually doing in that role and kind of how thankless it was and how the show wasn't always on his side either.
Yeah.
In this one in particular. So yeah, good choice, Sarah. Thanks. Joe.
So before I get to the episode proper, I do want to mention, we talked on a mini a couple weeks ago about the, or no, in a Worse Than Jazz segment about the Mindy Kaling, the Mindy Project theme song. And I just want Dave to play the theme song to Felicity so everybody can hear it.
Johnson, right?
I know, it's the worst. It's of all the things that make Julie the worst, it's among them.
Right up there.
It's so, they change it in the second season or the third season?
I think
in
the second season.
It's the worst. It's so terrible.
I love the second theme, but this one is terrible.
Yeah. It
like,
is
even
really
though it's
bad.
Not long enough to fast forward, I still fast forward and mute it because it's like, oh my God, Julie, shut
Joe,
up.
I exactly thought the same thing you did, that like, this is worse than the Mindy Project one. Mm. It's the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's close. It's pretty close. Yeah. My story with Felicity is I didn't pick up the show until probably more than halfway through the first season, so I've never seen this particular episode. And I'm sort of, I came into it with my biases from later on, where Julie's the worst, and I hated Noel so much. I was so definitely, like, on the Felicity Ben tip. I feel like this is the show that sort of, it didn't invent shipping, but it invented, like, fan wars about it.
Yeah. Well,
it, I feel like was, this was the first, like, Team Noel, Team
yeah,
Ben.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like Team Noel had more of a case to me at the time. That I was like, I see where she's sitting.
Watching
now,
this episode now, I think I'm more sympathetic to Noel's side of things watching this episode. Where, like, later on, he
that's
really just
felt.
Became insufferable.
Agree.
And Ben is really aloof and really kind of yanking Felicity around. And I see why there's a competition at this point, even though, like, I'm always for, like, go for that brass ring, Felicity. Like, try, like, if you can get Ben, get Ben. Which is where the Krakow thing comes in, too, because Lord knows how much I fucking hate Brian Krakow. So seeing him in this episode,
oh, I forgot.
I'm just,
forgot
like, huge demerits.
Krakow hater.
But they sort of, well, whatever, they shove him into the storyline with Julie. And Julie's not so bad in this episode, I guess. Although, like, even in that one with all four of them are in the room waiting for Felicity to come back, which I love that scene. I love anything that gets all the sort of ancillary characters together because they all worked really well together. But, like, she picks up the phone and it's Felicity's dad and it's just like, just say she's not there and take a goddamn message.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
What the hell?
It's the middle of the day. She's supposed to be in class.
Right. Like, no, there's no news to report yet. Like, just fucking get off the phone. Anyway, I like what Sarah said about Carrie Russell being a good drunk.
Yeah.
That's a really good observation. I also like how this show really encouraged viewers to sort of into armchair analysis about the characters, probably more so than many, where we're really just all encouraged to be our own little Elenas, like sort of judging Felicity's life and her choices. And I think that's following her life through college that way, I think, is probably a good way to sort of engender viewer participation, which I really liked.
Along those lines, just an interjection, sorry.
No, go ahead.
In terms of psychoanalyzing the characters, do we all agree that Ben decided to not be Frankenstein because Felicity suggested being the Bride of Frankenstein? Because the cover story was, we decided to all be the Rat Pack. But it seems Ben for him to be like, oh, shit, I should not do this because it's going to give her ideas.
Yeah, Ben's not going to go along with a Sean idea unless... Oh, really?
No, I disagree because I think as written at this point, he's really not paying very close attention to her. And that's the whole point, that she reads into this stuff a lot.
Fair enough. Yeah.
And I think we're meant to understand that he is not investing nearly as much time into, you know, and analyzing her or any at all.
Right.
You don't suggest you go as bride and groom, even if it is Frankenstein's monster and his bride at the beginning, potential beginning of a relationship. That's her bad.
I agree. But that's what I'm saying.
If she didn't have the perfect hair for Bride of Frankenstein.
Yes. That's also true.
That, yeah. I mean, that is sort of a mitigating factor.
I also love the guy who was Frankenstein's monster at the party doing his little dance when he brings the duke over. He was funny.
I know.
It was very, very Homer-esque.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, sorry. I interrupted Joe.
No, that's okay. I think this is an episode that works for me more so as atmosphere than as plot. I feel like the plot itself just lent itself to a lot of chalky stuff that was fine but not incredibly compelling for me. But I think just the sense that you get of Felicity's aimlessness and kind of how yearning she is for Ben at this point and how she has no idea how to go about it. Really, I think that show did a good job of having that kind of thing get underlined in every episode. And I don't know, it's just a very solid episode of a very solid show. I'm not sure if it's a highlight for me, and it's kind of borderline in that way, but I really like that show, and I really like the characters for the most part.
Subway product placement was weird in this episode. First of all, they used to have purple uniforms. Two characters are going to dress up as, well, we're supposed to dress up as sandwich artists.
Mm-hmm.
And
because Noel's friend manages the one on 7th Avenue. Yes. The one Subway.
There's a time capsule back in the day when a street in New York could have just one Subway store on it. Wow. That was weird. That must have been a relatively early product placement. 15 years ago? I mean, it wasn't really ingrained yet. You know, it was happening, but it wasn't really like something that you just sort of go with the flow with.
Mm-hmm.
Really weird to think that this is a product from J.J. Abrams now.
Yeah.
You know, to think that this is
like
how
he's a different person.
Yeah, he is. I mean, look at now he's just, you know, he's doing all the, you know, kind of geek friendly stuff. You know, he's got Star Trek and Star Wars and he's, you know, Super 8 and all these kind of stuff.
There was still a mystery box, though.
And this was just a different kind of geek. Like, it was geek-friendly for, like, I don't know, teen rom-com fans
same
people who liked My So-Called Life.
Right.
Rapey Brian Krakow, notwithstanding.
And Alias was sort of the transition
that
show.
That was the bridge show,
But it's funny, isn't it? It just never doesn't seem to want to go back to that.
No.
To this sort of thing. You know, because obviously, you know, if you can make a big action film, why wouldn't you? You know, it pays the bills. But it's kind of funny just to think that this is how we got to start. This episode, would you say that this show is sort of the college, like My So-Called Life was to high school?
Yes.
Is that sort of like more so than say like Undeclared or?
Oh, definitely.
Like something else.
Yeah.
So, it, you know, in that vein, I kind of get this episode and what it was going for. You know, this isn't my type of show. You know,
it's always a risk.
No, but I'm just going to say, like, where, say, like, Tara and me, where my Tara-esque shows will overlap are things with this runs on relationships. That is the coal that runs this fire. Whereas I can watch something like The Good Wife now, like, you know, after that bonkers episode last week. Or this week.
And last week.
Where it's not just the only thing happening.
Yes.
And, like, I think that might be part of the reason why I also couldn't really get into Nashville. It just seemed to be, like, you know, kind of the focus of that.
Yes.
But where it is part of the formula but not the main ingredient, I tend to be more tolerant of. But I understand, like, I really think they did well with certain aspects of the college/university experience. I have trouble calling it college because I'm from Canada. College means something totally different. But they really nailed, as you were saying, I am sort of just going to focus on this one person and my whole life is going to revolve around decisions made by that person and how much they like me. They did that well, but I just find that I can't get my hooks into it because it's just like character math. It kind of is the friends drama, you know, like how they're going to pair these people up you know, this season it's going to be A and B. Next season we're going to try A and C, and then, you know, B is going to go with D and that kind of stuff. It gets tiresome across the run of a show. And that was like the worst part of Friends for me. And I think like on this too. Carrie Russell is great. I think she does a really good job, not only just with drunkenness, but just being kind of finding her way and not doing a super great job of it.
Yes. You, you see know? That in this, in the interview scene with her and Javier. Like, yeah. It's another another view of like what she's about as a person, you know, like her description of working in that store back in Palo Alto.
I get the sense that this is, this episode, you know, might not be canon worthy for me, but it is a really good indicative episode of the series, if not particularly memorable for any one thing for me. So that would be my vote on the nay side of it. But Tara?
I would vote yay. I do. I see where Sarah's going, that it's a turning point in terms of like the narrative development of it. So I would vote yay.
All right. That means Joe, you're the deciding vote.
I'm the deciding vote. I think ultimately, because it's such a good example of what Felicity is as a series, that I feel like it holds up as just sort of a representative episode. And for that, I'll vote yay.
All right.
Yay.
Felicity, Season 1, Episode 5, Spooked. You are hereby inducted into the Extra Hot Great Canon.
Americans love a winner.
Yup.
And will not tolerate a loser.
Nope.
It's time for Winner and Loser of the Week. And Tara, you have our winner.
Winner of the Week is Nostalgia. Because even though Ironside reboot did not work out for NBC, they're considering a Murder, She Wrote reboot. This would star Octavia Spencer, Oscar winner, as Jessica Fletcher, assuming they keep the same name. I can't really top the joke from SNL, which was... Fans of the original show said, "We're all dead." I mean, it's not even a show that really lives on in any kind of like, is it streaming? Yeah, no, I think it was syndicated for a while.
It's syndicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She says authoritatively.
Oh, okay.
Not
Winner of the Week, Sarah D. Bunting, who will totally watch this show.
One foot in the grave, Bunting is all over it.
And Loser.
Loser of the Week kind of sort of stepped up and declared itself this week when Julianne Hough, formerly of Dancing with the Stars and currently of certain movie projects, decided to dress up as a character from Orange is the New Black for Halloween. And instead of going as Piper, who she basically is, she went as Crazy Eyes and decided to delve headfirst into the realm of blackface.
Nope.
Which, for all of the regular... obvious reasons it's a bad idea, but also, like, there is a finite number of forgivenesses I will hand out for dressing up in blackface, and I already forgave Emily from Real World Road Rules Challenge, so that's about it.
Oh my God.
Like, that's it. And Julianne Hough probably didn't grow up within a cult, so I think that's probably...
And she probably didn't use chocolate frosting, which I think is a big part of your forgiveness program.
That's not actually what she did, is it?
The girl on Real World?
Yeah.
On the challenge?
Nutella. Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad.
Oh, no.
It went through bad and
worse.
And,
can we go on
girl,
a little tangent?
Of thinking about
can
that.
Can we talk about Nutella, how it's not really that good?
Well, it's the proportion of how people go nuts for it versus... Yeah.
It's not that
it's
great.
It's not bad.
It's overrated.
It's still chocolate that tastes like hazelnuts. That's never going to be bad.
Hazelnut? But why would you add it ruins the chocolate. Hazelnut? Nobody. You ever have a hazelnut by itself? It's disgusting.
Oh, I like a hazelnut.
No,
can
you don't.
Can you do that?
Ferrero Rocher's.
You're
like
thinking
being
of peanuts.
Gruntled. Am I wrong? Hazelnuts are just in stuff. They're not like
hazelnuts.
You know,
taste like
it's like a boysenberry that's made up, right?
I mean, you don't go to pick boysenberries. You see a hazelnut in like a nut mix, you know, around the holidays. But they are the last ones eaten. You definitely go through the walnuts first.
I hate a walnut.
Yeah, walnuts.
Oh my God, let's do a mini on nuts.
Well, see, but the thing about walnuts is they can get like kind of musty tasting really quick.
You're crazy.
No, walnuts are like moisture sponges or something. There's something about them where they get a little soft and then it kind
of, I agree.
It feels like you're like chewing on a sock or something.
All right, so what nut
and
do you go for?
And also they look like
it?
Tiny brains and it's
well, like,
I still
okay,
hate
wait.
Pecans worse though.
Oh, Yeah, I don't mind pecan. Cashews are
I'll
good.
I'll eat them in a pie.
Almonds are good.
Right.
Peanuts are good, especially your Spanish peanut.
I'm thinking Macadamia. Of the nut mix like that where you need to have a nutcracker, like specifically the holiday.
Oh, that's too
your
much
holiday
work.
Nut mixes.
No. Anything oh you have God. A nutcracker for, just like
Brazil nuts.
That's what we pay people to do. We all pay right. people to extract the nut from the what I call the nutcase.
Well, really getting off our topic. Now.
I feel like we're that scene in Best in Show now where
he's just naming nuts. Pine nut.
Pine nut. Macadamia
nut. I have a question for you. Do you know what time it is?
Is it nut time?
Nut time.
Nut time.
It is nut time. So anyways, what I was thinking about is that you rank them like this. First you go peanut, then hey! Peanut, almonds, cashews, pecans. You're not rankings. All right, everybody. This
what
is the
pistachii?
10th game time of the season. Our last couple weeks have been non-regulation because Joe was unable to join us. Joe, I don't know if you're caught up in the very latest, but I made a determination about when the season ends because we didn't
yes,
really talk about that.
I was listening.
Okay. So just to remind everybody, our season goes to 5 wins instead of a set period of time. So Joe, you got 4 wins.
Yes.
Tara, you got 3.
Yes, I do. Yes, correct. Do. Yes.
I wasn't asking.
And I'm also here.
And Sarah is also here. But you did get a non-regulation win, so...
That's true. Congratulations,
you know,
belatedly.
Maybe this is the streak. So, Joe, you're sort of under the gun here. You got 2 opportunities here.
Time's running out.
Before you go into guest status to, like, clinch the season. I also want to say that we're going to count all... moving forward, the guests will be... as if they were all another player.
Okay.
So, like, you know, if guest from week 1 wins, that point carries over for the
They're like
a
Voltron of
Frankenpoints.
They are our Voltron, exactly.
Do I get anything for knowing that reference?
Let's see what we got here.
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, time for another Tara update.
This just in, Tara Ariano, very proud of herself for naming an 80s cartoon.
Look. It's a cartoon for boys. That displays applied knowledge.
All right. Today's game time comes from Mr. Rob Hartman, who earns himself an extra credit. Redeemable for an extra hot, great mini topic of his choosing. Today, we are going to play, not in honor, but because of Joe's news, we are going to play Fill My Function. When actors leave television shows for whatever reason, many times the writers bring on a character to fill in that same function, such as a villain, a love interest, a best friend, a boss, etc.
Sure.
Sometimes the new character is very similar to the old character. It's the never-before-mentioned kid, you know, sister, cousin, or whatever.
Right.
Or else
right.
the character has a very kind of contrast personality. Clearly, they were brought in to fill that function no matter what type of character they were. Note that sometimes these characters, the in and the out, they will overlap sometimes on the show. So this game time will test your knowledge of those characters. I'm going to give you the name of the usurper character.
Okay.
You have the opportunity to score 2 points if you can tell me both the character they replaced and the show in question.
Got it.
You have to give me both.
Okay.
Okay? You can ask for a clue.
Yep.
And I'll give you the actor who played the usurper.
Okay.
After which, you have to answer both, and it's only worth 1 point.
Understood.
Got it?
Yes.
We got 45 questions.
Whoa.
So you're each going to get 15 opportunities for a maximum of 30 points each.
Yep.
There are 45 questions, as I said. So here we go. Are we ready to play Fill My Function?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Here we go. Picky. Let's see who goes first. Boop.
We will start with Sarah.
All right. Sarah.
Yes.
The character, the usurper, is Valerie Malone.
Ah, the very first one.
So I need the character she replaced and the show in question.
She replaced Brenda Walsh on Beverly Hills 90210.
That is correct for 2 points. All right, so we're going to go to Joe.
Yes.
The character is Rebecca Howe.
Rebecca Howe replaced Diane Chambers on Cheers.
Correct for 2 points. Tara.
Yes.
Detective Bobby Simone.
He replaced... Okay, the show is NYPD Blue.
Uh-huh.
And I believe he replaced... Fuck. Can I give the actor's name of the person he replaced? Mike?
Nice. No points.
David Caruso.
No points.
No?
No points.
What?
You have to give me both the name and the show.
All right. Fuck.
Back
what
to
was
Sarah.
His name?
Oh, sorry. The name was Detective John Kelly.
No.
John Kelly. I thought it was Mike Kelly, too. Yeah.
That was Jimmy Smith replacing David Caruso.
That's a terrible guess for a New York police detective. Mike. Come on, guys.
Sarah.
Just kidding.
Dr. Yes. Philip Capra. Dr. Philip Capra.
I have absolutely
Capra.
No idea.
Can I have a hint? Can use one of your advantages.
Well, you get the hint.
Okay.
You can ask for the hint. An extra hint is what those are.
But, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
The actor... Paul Provenza.
Oh, he replaced Joel Fleischman on Northern Exposure.
Nice.
All right, wow. So that is worth 1 point.
Wow.
One
well
point.
Done.
Dark,
good
deep,
pull.
Dark pull.
That is solid.
Joe.
Yes.
Sandy Hogan.
Okay. Replaced Valerie Hogan on Valerie / the Hogan Family.
Correct.
Yay.
Slash
Valerie.
The Hogans.
Yeah. Valerie / Valerie's family / the Hogan family.
Right.
Yeah, that went through quite a few. Tara.
Yeah.
Charlie Crawford. Charlie Crawford.
Hint.
Charlie Sheen is the actor.
Well, I don't know the character's name. Oh, wait. Yes, I do. Walden, and the show is 2.5 Men.
Mike Flattery from Spin City replacing
Shit.
Michael J. Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Why is he always named Charlie?
For Sarah.
Yep.
Allison Sugarbaker.
Allison Sugarbaker replaced, I don't remember which one she replaced. But let's say Julia Sugarbaker on Designing Women.
Suzanne Sugarbaker, but
God
you were
damn
correct.
It.
50-50 shot. Yep.
Julia Duffy replacing Delta Burke.
Oh, God, that's right, Duffy. I still get a point, though, right?
You get no points.
You have to get them.
What?
You have to get,
you gotta get everything right.
You got to get them both.
Wait, but I didn't ask for a hint.
Doesn't
I have
matter.
To get them both?
You got
to
get them both.
I thought they were each 1 point.
Nope.
No.
2 points for answering without a clue, 1 point for answering with a clue. You have to answer both
in
items.
Every case.
Okay.
Joe.
So,
Ziva.
I don't have any points.
David.
No, you have three.
Yeah, you have 3 points.
For Joe.
What's up? What's mine?
What's that now? Ziva. That's Ziva. David. Ziva David.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it might be pronounced David.
Perhaps.
I feel like this is that NCIS person. Give me the hint. What the hell?
Cote de Pablo.
Yeah, this is that NCIS person. I have no idea who she replaced, so nothing.
You were on the right track. Caitlin Todd, and that was NCIS. That was, yeah. She replaced Sasha
Alexander.
She
also played
Alexander.
Gretchen Witter on Dawson.
Oh,
Dawson's
really? Screen. Interesting.
Yeah.
Tara.
Yes.
Kyle McCarty.
Sigh.
Oh, God.
Kyle McCarty.
Hint.
Kevin Ram.
Oh,
Ram?
He
is that Rom?
Rom?
I think it's Rom.
Rom.
I know the show and I know the actor's name, but I can't remember the character. It was Judging Amy and it was the Dan Futterman guy, but I forget his name.
Vincent Gray.
Vincent!
And if you only know like the first character, the name, I might accept that depending on, you know.
Well, if I said Gray, that wouldn't have helped me.
No, I know. I'm just letting you know.
Okay.
Sarah. Mm-hmm. Paige Matthews. Paige Matthews.
I think the hint will help you.
Oh, it's right there. Can I have the hint, please?
Rose McGowan.
Oh, I don't remember which P she replaced, but let's go with Prudence Hallowell on Charmed.
Nice.
Correct
nice
for 1 point. Joe, Chris Monroe. Yes. Monroe.
Chris Monroe.
Correct.
Hint, please.
Cheryl Ladd.
Okay. All right, Charlie's Angels, right? Okay, she would have replaced... Do I know any of their actual names?
I was going to say this. Just, like, guess a name from that. time, you know, like.
Good morning, Janet. No, that's all I can think of now is Chrissy and Janet from Three's Company.
I'm gonna say you're close. Your name was close. It was Charlie's Angels, and the character's name is Jill.
Jill.
I would never.
Was that the Farrah Fawcett, or was
that's correct. They must be sisters because they have the same last name. That's Jill Monroe as well. All right, Tara. Okay.
Yeah.
Ben Wyatt.
He replaced Mark Brendanowitz on Parks and Recreation.
Two points. Sarah.
Uh-huh.
Max Lewis.
Max Lewis. May I have a hint, please?
John Lovitz.
No.
Played by John Lovitz. He plays this character on this show.
Yeah, I don't remember the character's name. Bill someone on News Radio?
Yeah.
Tara's giving me that. Yeah, the real deal with Bill McNeil. Bill McNeil. All right, okay. We're going to give you that one point.
You said first name would be okay.
Yeah. Joe, Beverly Ann Stickle.
Oh, shit. This sounds familiar.
Beverly Ann.
Oh, she replaced Mrs. Garrett on Facts of Life.
Yes, that is correct.
Edna Garrett on Facts of Life.
Correct. All right. This one is not about somebody on this podcast, but your clue is Joe.
All right.
Can you spell Joe for me, please?
J.
Yeah.
O.
Right.
E.
Okay. It's important information. I need more, though. Give me a hint.
G-E-A-U.
Could be J-O. That's why I was asking.
Donovan Patton.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Donovan Patton.
No, I don't know.
Replace Steve, who was played by Steve Burns from Blue's Clues. All right. We're 1/3 into our game. Let's get a score break.
I have 2. Sarah has 5. Joe has 6.
All right, Sarah. Done. Randy Pearson.
Could I have the hint, please?
Josh Myers played Randy Pearson. Replace this character from this show.
Oh, God. I was thinking of Josh Taylor. That's not going to do anything. I don't know.
Eric Foreman from That 70s Show. Josh Myers replaced Topher Grace.
Really?
Oh, I forgot they replaced him.
God.
Number 17.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
For Joe, Dr. Raymond Langston. Dr. Raymond Langston.
Hint.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Okay. Replaced Gil Grissom on CSI?
1 point.
Nice.
All right, Tara. All right.
Yep.
Walden Schmidt.
Oh, he replaced Charlie Harper on 2.5 Men.
Correct. As
there we go.
Butcher replacing Charlie Sheen. All right. For Sarah. Florence Kleiner.
Florence Kleiner.
Yeah.
I will need a hint.
Florence Hallop. This is one you're just going to know it or you're not.
Okay. I don't know it.
She replaced Selma Hacker, played by Selma Diamond on Night Court.
Night Court.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn it. I should have known that.
Joe.
Yes.
John Doggett.
Okay. Replaced Fox Mulder on The X-Files.
2 points. Tara.
It's really no
Colonel
replacing Fox.
Sherman T. Potter. Sherman T. Potter, Colonel Potter.
He replaced Blake on MASH.
2 points,
fuck.
Colonel
wow.
Henry Blake.
I would have gone 18. Good job.
All right, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Jefferson Darcy.
Jefferson Darcy.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I know.
I will need a hint.
Ted McGinley.
Yep.
I have no idea who that character is, though. That's crazy.
Damn it.
Character
he replaced Julie on The Love Boat?
Was it replaced Steve on Married with Children?
That's right. Steve Rose on Married with Children.
Wow.
Married to Marcy Darcy.
Marcy Darcy, yep.
All right, Joe.
Yes.
Roger Phillips.
Nope, hint.
Ted McGinley.
God. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know The Love Boat at all, if that's what it is. So.
He replaced a character known as Richie Cunningham on Happy Days.
That's what I thought the first one was at first.
All right, Tara. Wow.
Yeah.
Will Bailey. Joshua Molina.
Oh, he replaced Sam Seaborn on The West Wing.
Correct. Joshua Molina replaced Rob Lowe on The West Wing. Okay, so this one's for Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Your character's name, Anya.
Anya?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I want to remind Anya. You that these characters can overlap. I believe that was the case with this character.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, there's only one choice that I would know, which is that she replaced Cordelia Chase on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Two points. Nice. Okay, Joe. Yes. Alan Shore.
Alan Shore replaced Bobby Donnell on The Practice.
Nice.
Good grief.
Wow.
Bobby Donnell, both names.
God yeah. damn.
Tara.
Yeah.
Cindy Snow.
Replaced Chrissy Snow on Three's Company.
That is correct for 2 points.
Well done.
Back to Sarah.
Yep.
Nurse Abby Lockhart. Got a little bonus there with the nurse.
Abby Lockhart replaced Nurse Carol Hathaway on ER.
Nice job.
Sure she did.
2 points. Yep. Joe. Yep. Audrey Liddell. Or Liddell, probably. L-I-D-D-E-L-L. Liddell.
Who would she have replaced? Wait, well, give me the hint just so I know what we're talking about.
The hint is... And this is somebody you've had physical contact with, Joe.
I was thinking that, yep.
Knew it.
Okay.
It is Busy Phillips.
Okay, that's what I thought. Replaced. Who left? None of the principals left.
What show are you thinking of, Joe?
Dawson's Creek. Andy McPhee?
Nice.
All right.
Correct for... Uno punto.
All right.
Okay. Tara.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Townsend. Taylor Townsend. You have a hint at your disposal.
Marissa on The OC.
Correct.
Nice job.
I couldn't remember Marissa.
Now, if you guys want to use your hints to be like, I want the hint, but I don't want the point. Break.
Yes.
You can do that.
Okay.
I'll let you guys do that. Okay. So we are now 2/3 finished with this game. So let's see what the scores are.
Sarah has 9. I have 11. Joe has 12.
Ooh.
Close game.
Very close.
So we're back to Sarah. Your character is Joe Danville. That's Joe J-O.
Joe Danville.
Yeah.
I will need a hint. Yeah. Please.
Cela Ward.
I feel like she replaced someone on Sisters, but I don't know, so...
She replaced Stella Bonsera from NCI New York.
Oh, yeah, right. CSI.
Oh, yeah. CSI. What did I say?
NCIS.
Yeah.
That's all.
What are you going to do?
Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Back to Joe. Wesley Wyndham Price
replaced... Oh, darn it all.
Language, Joe.
What was his name on Angel?
We'll accept first name on this one for sure.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
By the late Glenn Quinn. Doyle. Doyle on Angel.
That was the last name, but that's good enough.
Very good.
Alan Doyle. Alan
I don't think
Doyle.
We ever knew his first name.
Well, Wikipedia probably knows. So.
That's true.
All right. Tara.
Yep.
Bud Bronsky.
No penalty hint, please.
Brian Haley.
Oh, good. I'm glad I wasted it on this one. No idea.
He replaced the character Lowell Mather, played by Thomas Hayden Church on the Wings. Epic comedy Wings.
Good grief.
Oh, God.
Sarah.
Uh-huh.
Felicia Tillman.
No penalty hint, please.
Harriet. Sansom Harris.
All right.
I don't know.
Sounds familiar.
Sounds like
though.
Somebody knows.
She
Tara
replaced,
said, oh, yeah, right.
Oh, shit. Now I can't remember. But it was Desperate Housewives.
It was Desperate
she
Housewives.
She replaced Catherine Justin.
She replaced Christine Estabrook.
Oh,
Martha Huber. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Joe. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jordan Denby.
Dr. Jordan Denby. Hint, please.
Laura Bell Bundy.
Really?
Uh-huh. Huh.
Of the Bundy Bundys.
Huh.
So, character and show.
I don't know
what
show Laura Bell Bundy is on. Legally Blonde, the musical, the TV show.
Dr. Kate Wales is the character. Selma Blair from Anger Management.
Oh, she did replace her on Anger Management. That's right.
All right.
Yep.
Tara.
Yes.
Dr. Catherine Pulaski.
Dr.
Catherine Pulaski. Pulaski.
The show is Star Trek The Next Generation, I think.
I can neither confirm nor deny that at this point in time.
Did she replace Dr. Crusher?
Hey!
Cool point.
Nice.
Nicely done. Okay.
Dave was giving me nothing. Total poker face.
In my heart, I was dying. Sarah.
Yep.
Lieutenant Colonel Cameron Mitchell. You're not
Lieutenant Colonel Cameron Mitchell.
I mean, you might get it.
Can I have a penalty hint, please?
Ben Browder. Fan favorite, Ben Browder.
He replaced Hannibal on the A-Team. Well,
character replaced, Colonel Jack O'Neill, played by MacGyver, Richard Dean Anderson, the show Stargate SG-1.
Sure.
Right.
I like my answer better. Giving myself a point.
Okay, you get one Sarah point. Sarah points are not redeemable for real points. No, however,
Homer pays the Homer tax.
They're more like fun. Okay, for Joe, Raquel Lancaster. I don't even know what this show is. Good luck.
Hint, please.
Denise Vassy.
Denise Vassy. All my children's own Denise Vassy. I have no idea.
The show Single Ladies.
Uh-huh. Sure.
The character Val Stokes, played by Stacey Dash.
Oh, Stacey Dash.
What is
they
Single
look
Ladies?
Exactly it's alike.
On VH1.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it's a scripted show on VH1.
Would explain things. Okay, Tara.
Yeah.
Detective Laura Ballard. Laura Ballard.
No penalty hint.
Callie Thorne.
Okay, she was on Homicide: Life on the Street. And let's say she replaced... Nah, fuck, I can't remember his name.
Ooh,
the
let's
Kyle
say
Secor guy.
Mo. Detective Kay Howard, played by Melissa Leo.
I don't think I knew her character name either.
Okay, so we're back to Sarah. You each got two questions left. Yes, you each got two questions left. Joe Reynolds. J.O.
Reynolds.
Like the
penalty
rap.
Hint, please.
Daphne Zunga.
Zuniga.
Zuniga.
Oh, right. She replaced... what did she actually replace, though?
Yeah.
It was on Melrose Place.
All right.
And she replaced...
I sense this is a stab in the dark. An educated stab in the dark.
Jane Mancini.
This is very...
Oh. Whoever the Amy Locane character
That's
was.
That's correct.
Right?
Sandy. Yeah. Okay, Joe, your second last. Clayton... Sorry, lost my spot. Clayton Endicott III.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hint, please.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Rene
Auberjonois.
Thank you.
What has he shown up on? I feel like this is probably a Boston Legal thing that I'm not going to know, so I'm going to surrender.
We're going to tap into Mark Blankenship here. The show Benson... The character John Taylor, the old played by Louis J. Stanton.
Sure.
Stanlin. Yeah.
Yep. Definitely.
Tara, here's your second last.
Uh-huh.
Nancy Olson. The character Nancy Olson. O-L-E-S-O-N.
No penalty hint, please.
Allison Balson.
Fuck you. I have no idea.
I think
Nellie Olson. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Kim Reed would have known that. Nellie Olson, Little House on the Prairie. Okay, let's find out what our scores are sitting at here before the last question.
So painful. Sarah's at 9. I'm at 13. Joe's at 14!
Ah!
Oh my God.
All right, Sarah.
Yes.
You're last. Detective Joe Fontana.
Oh. But I don't actually remember who he was replacing. Okay. He, let's say, was replacing Lenny Briscoe on Law & Order Mothership.
Yay!
Nice job.
So glad you got that one.
Dos points.
Me too.
For Joe.
Broke my something card.
An important question. Could clinch the season for you.
Uh-huh.
CJ Parker.
Okay. Replaced. Oh, God. Who would she have replaced?
Talk it out, Joe.
I'm assuming this is Baywatch. I'm assuming this is Pamela Anderson on Baywatch. Am I wrong? Am I totally off base? I'm going to have to ask for a hint because I need some help.
Okay. The actor who played CJ Parker was Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, okay. Who was earlier on Baywatch than Pamela Anderson? And
David
why would
Hasselhoff.
I think I would know any of their characters' names? I
oh,
don't
wait,
know.
Oh, wait. The ocean.
The bay.
The she character the bay is Shawnee McClain.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Shawnee McClain, played by...
Nicole Eggert?
Nope, played by Erica...
Eleniak.
Eleniak, yeah. Yes.
Oh, sure.
Superman's nemesis,
Skinamax's
Eleniak.
Own Erica Eleniak.
Weren't they all?
I will destroy the beach, Superman. Then you will... stuff and things happen. Okay. Tara.
Oh, God, Tara. Yeah.
So, 1 point separates you and Joe, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Your character is...
Shut up, Joe! Yes?
Super Psych!
Newman.
Your character is... You ready?
Yes!
Joe, are you ready? No. Your character is Woody Boyd.
Woody Boyd replaced Coach on Cheers.
Correct.
Nice job.
For snapping the victory right at the end, extending the season to our last full episode next week. Right
it's
going
to be so suspenseful.
Congratulations, Sarah. Sarah. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Marriage over.
congratulations, Sarah.
The Sarah
really.
Point counts for 10
points. No, that's what I wanted. I wanted to congratulate you on winning the Sarah side game.
she did win the only Sarah point of the game.
Well done. So for that, we'll give you this.
Sarah.
And congratulations to Tara for winning the real game.
Tara.
All right, guys. That is it for another episode of Extra Hot Crate.
Oh, I'm going to miss this.
Oh. We invested some time to talk about NBC's new take on Dracula, shared our first impressions of Project Runway All-Stars, and Dave shared his tiny triumph about bigger movies. Sarah brought us Felicity's Halloween episode Spooked for the Canon, which was inducted duly. We crowned winners and losers of the week, and Tara was the winner of this week's Game Time, setting us up for the big show-off next week. Or showdown. Please, if you haven't already, let your social media followers know about Extra Hot Great. We have returned, not everybody knows yet. You can point them to the site at previously.tv, at Extra Hot Podcast on Twitter or facebook.com/extrahotgreat. We certainly do appreciate it. Remember,
we're listening.
I am David T. Cole on behalf of Tara Ariano,
Garlic Breath,
and Joe Reed,
Bleh,
and Sarah D. Bunting.
Shut up, Julie.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on an exciting showdown Extra Hot Great. This season on Dracula, Ah, I love 1929. It's a good time for all my schemes. And I think I'm just going to look over my stock. Oh, no. Oh, no.
We've lost Joe again.
Bleh.